You're spending this money to buy the extra guac, you're buying the BMWs, you're buying the nice stuff, but you have no wealth to actually show for it. This is what happens to the majority of people, is that they're a worker and a consumer. But our economic system is designed to benefit the financially educated, which is the...
What's up, everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh, and welcome to The Minority Mindset.
Most people think the way to get rich in the stock market is by finding the next NVIDIA, or Tesla, or Amazon. But that's a lie. There's a much easier way. I'll show you. The stock market is a place where anybody can go out and buy a piece of our economy or of a piece of your favorite company. Now, you're not buying something from Amazon, you're buying a piece of the Amazon company itself. And it doesn't matter what degree you have, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it doesn't matter what skin color you are, anybody can do this. Now, from my experience of teaching financial education, not just on YouTube, but around the world, what I've learned is that once you understand the why, it's much easier for you to understand the how. So let's start by understanding why the stock market system and investing is so important, so you understand how you can actually succeed in the stock market instead of being one of the people that are just throwing their money into random stocks and they end up losing the bulk of their investments. See, the way our economic system works is that there are four main players. You have the consumers. Every single person is a consumer. Rich people, middle class people, poor people are consumers. Everybody has to eat. Everybody needs a place to live. Everybody needs clothes. So everybody is a consumer. Then you have businesses, people that go out and create the businesses. When you are a consumer and you buy something from Chipotle, you're giving money to the business of Chipotle. Now, when you give money to Chipotle, who does that benefit? Well, that benefits two people. First, it benefits the worker, because that means the person that's working behind the cash register gets the job. But it also benefits the investor, because now when Chipotle makes more money, the investors in the Chipotle company also make money, because now Chipotle can show that they're making bigger profits. And the bigger profits that Chipotle makes, the more valuable that investment is. So consumers go and spend money at businesses. When businesses make money, they have money to hire employees, that means hiring workers. And then businesses can show to their investors they're making more money. So investors make more money because now their investment becomes more valuable. Now, what you need to understand here is that our economic system is designed to benefit the financially educated. What does that mean? Well, that means this person right here, the person who created the business, and that means this person right here, the person that's investing their money in the business. The way that the system works for most people, though, is every single person, until you're extremely rich and wealthy, every single person is trying to generate an income as a worker. Even if you're starting a company, you're still a worker in the company. So now, when you're getting paid with this income, what ends up happening to most people is they take all of their money and then they use it to become a consumer. You're spending this money to buy the extra guac, you're buying the BMWs, you're buying the nice stuff, but you have no wealth to actually show for it. This is what happens to the majority of people, is that they're a worker and a consumer. But our economic system is designed to benefit the financially educated, which is the business owner and the investor. So for the average person, you're the worker and you're the consumer, and you get no benefits from our economic system. But in order to benefit from the system, you got to stop spending all of your money as a consumer, and you need to spend more money here as an investor, because not everybody should or wants to go out and start a business, and that's completely fine. But everybody needs to be a business owner, and it can do that by putting your money here into the investor circle. Now, the question is, how does our system benefit the financially educated? Well, let me show you a couple things. Number one is, when we have inflation happen, and we know that inflation has been around, not just since the pandemic, but for decades prior to the pandemic, and we know that inflation is going to stay around. How do we know that? The Federal Reserve Bank even says so on their website, that they're aiming for 2% inflation. They want inflation, they don't want 0% inflation. What does inflation do in this chart? Well, inflation means ideally you're gonna make a little bit more money as a worker, but what we've seen happen is that the prices of things have risen way faster than incomes. So maybe you make a little bit more money as a worker, but the real cost of inflation is that consumption becomes more expensive. When you go to buy groceries, it's more expensive. When you go to buy a home or rent a home, it becomes more expensive. When you buy a car, it's more expensive. So consumption becomes more expensive when you have inflation. So now, inflation makes consuming more expensive. Who does that hurt? Well, that hurts all consumers. And remember, everybody's a consumer. Rich people, middle class people, poor people, everybody's a consumer. Inflation hurts consumption. However, when you're spending more money at a business when inflation happens, that also means that more money is going to the hands of the investor. We know that a little bit more money is going into the workers' hands. Inflation has caused incomes to go up, but incomes have not grown fast enough to keep up with the rising cost of living. Not to mention the fact that investors became disproportionately more wealthy because of inflation when it happens. So when you see inflation happen, more of the money goes here into the investor hands as opposed to here into the workers' hands. This economic system is benefiting the business owners and is benefiting the investors. You don't have to create a business, but you have to be an investor. And this is just scratching the surface. As an attorney who's not your attorney, what I can tell you is that our tax code is also designed to benefit certain people more than others. Guess what? If you're a worker, you're a W-2 employee, you get some of the lowest tax breaks and the highest tax rates. Versus when you're an investor, you get to qualify for lower tax rates and higher tax breaks. So now the question is, if our system is designed to benefit the business owner and the investor more than the worker, what do you need to do? Well, that means you gotta stop just being a worker and a consumer, and you gotta take your money as a worker and put it here into the investor circle that we can use your money, not just to make more money, but also to benefit from the way that this economic system works. Now, how do you actually take your money as a worker and put it here? Well, one of the simplest and most accessible ways to do this, not the easiest, but one of the most accessible ways to do this is by putting your money into the stock market. And this is where now I want to go into the more practical side of how do you invest your money in the stock market, because unfortunately, most people, the vast majority of people, are trying to find the next hot stock and they don't know how to invest their money in the stock market, but I'm going to show you a much easier way. The stock market gives you the ability to own a piece of your favorite company or companies or just our general economic system. And the reason why people get attracted and excited by the stock market is because they think, wow, a $1,000 investment in Amazon 25 years ago would be worth something like $366,000 today. Or a $1,000 investment in Amazon 20 years ago will be worth around $74,000 today. Or a $1,000 investment in Amazon just 10 years ago will be worth right around $8,000 today. And now you say, wow, if I would have just invested a little bit of money back then, I would be rich today. And this is where now a lot of people go out to try to find the next Amazon or the next hot stock, but this is where now you are taking on all the risk. In the late 1990s, do you know who the Wall Street Journal said was the innovative company that all their competitors were going bankrupt, but this golden poster child was the company to aspire to become? Well, according to the Wall Street Journal, this was Sears. Let me read you an excerpt. Sears was thriving while its competitors were going bankrupt because Sears responded to the changing market by identifying the customer group that would be critical to its future. And then Sears launched a $4 billion renovation project to make sure its stores were more inviting towards women, their ideal target audience. And even if you take a look at the Sears stock price from 2008 to 2010, you'll see that the Sears stock more than tripled. But then not too long later, Sears couldn't keep up with the changing economy and their company went bankrupt, which meant all the money put into Sears was now worth nothing. This is where the question then becomes, how do you know if you're buying the next Amazon or the next Sears? And the real answer is, you don't. 98% of investors have no idea what they're investing in. And what you have to remember is every single company has a lifespan. Even Amazon has a lifespan. And this is where you have to understand, if you want to invest in individual companies, you're taking on all the risk. Because if that company does really good, like how Amazon does, well, now you get to make all the money. But if that company starts to decline and you don't pay attention, you don't understand what's going on, well, then you could also lose all of your money. So now if you want to invest in individual companies, that's fine, but that means you also got to keep up with the company. You have to be able to research the company. You have to be able to understand the company's financials. You have to listen to the earnings calls. You want to understand what's going on behind the scenes in the company. And that's a lot of work and time and research that most people are not interested in and are not doing.
We're going to jump back into the show in just a minute. But before we do, here are a few words from our sponsor, M1, formerly known as M1 Finance. If you've been watching my videos, you've probably heard of me talk about passively investing your money in the stock market, where you have a CPA, a consistent, passive, and automatic system where money is automatically invested into the stock market for you. Well, a super easy to use platform that can help you passively invest your money into the stock market is M1. And as a little disclaimer, at the time of me recording this video, M1 is a tool that I use to passively invest my money into my portfolio of ETFs. The way it works is you get to create your PI or your portfolio of ETFs or stocks that you want to invest in, and then you can create a cadence of how often you want to invest into this portfolio of ETFs or stocks. For me, I invest every Wednesday. You can invest every 2 weeks, every month, but once you pick the cadence, you set it and forget it, and M1 is completely free for you to use. Now, of course, investing has risks. Are you guaranteed to make money when you invest? No, of course not. In fact, you will probably lose money at some point, which is why you want to always do your own due diligence and never blindly trust a random guy on YouTube. but you can mitigate some of your risk by investing your money into good assets for the long term, which is why I invest my money into my portfolio of ETFs, whether the market's up and down, because I'm investing for the long term. Now, of course, you want to do your own research, get a financial advisor if you need one, but M1 is a great tool that can allow you to passively invest your money yourself. Minority Mindset is a paid partner with M1, meaning if you use them, we will get compensated, but there's no additional cost to you. So if you want to learn more and create a free account with M1, I got the link to how you can do that down in the description below, or you can go to theminoritymindset.com/M1. That's theminoritymindset.com/M1. And with that, let's go back to the show.
So now, if you're going to be investing your money, which means investing your money for the long term, because investors are not traders, I'm not talking about trading, I don't know how to trade. But when it comes to investing your money, which is how do you actually make money for the long term, how do you actually invest your money into the right thing without having to put in a whole bunch of time, without having to take on all the risk, that way you can get the benefits from the growth of the economy without having to worry about your investment going bankrupt. This is a chart from Macro Trends showing the stock market, more specifically the S&P 500 over the last 90 years. And what you'll see is that the market goes up and down. In the early 1930s, we had the Great Depression, we had the market crash. But then in the 1970s, we had another market crash because of the high inflation and the slowing economy. This was an era of stagflation that really hurt the economy. In 2001, we had the dot-com bubble burst. You can see the market crash again. In 2008, we had the real estate meltdown. But after each time, you'll see that the stock market recovered. Some companies went bankrupt, but the stock market overall recovered. Our economy goes through booms and busts. It's a part of our economic system. We have seen recessions happen in the past, and they will continue to happen. And along with these recessions come market ups and downs. And what you have to remember about this is when you go through these economic swings, some companies will make a lot of money, and some companies are going to go bust. And if you want to be able to make your money without having to take on all the stress, but just owning a piece of the economy, owning a piece of the market, there are ways for you to do that, that way now you don't have to worry about individual companies. And this is now you going out and investing in funds or baskets of companies, that way now in case one company goes bankrupt, you're protected because you have other companies in this fund as well that are making money while others are losing money. Let me give you a few examples. These are a few of the most popular ETFs, which is a type of fund. I'll explain the different types of funds in just a minute, but these are a few of the most popular types of ETFs on our stock market. Now, I'm not telling you what to invest in. I'm giving you these as an example, and I want you to remember that investing has risks. You are never guaranteed to make money when you invest. In fact, you will lose money at some point, so make sure you always do your own due diligence and never blindly trust a random guy on YouTube. So now let's go through this. This is a fund, VTI. This is an ETF that gives you exposure to the total stock market. So now when you go out and you invest in one share of VTI, and you can do this on pretty much any stock brokerage, now you're buying a little bit of pretty much every company on the stock market. So with this one ETF, you're essentially buying the American stock market. Then you have SPY. This is one ETF that gives you exposure to the S&P 500. Just a second ago, I showed you a stock chart. This was a stock chart of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is an index, meaning a group of the 500 largest companies on the stock market. So now when you go out and you invest in a fund like SPY, what you're doing is you're buying a little bit of the 500 largest companies on the stock market. So now if one of those companies in your fund goes bankrupt, this fund will automatically kick that company out and put another company in. Then you have funds like DIA. This is an ETF that gives you exposure to the Dow Jones Industrial Average. This is one of the most popular and the most well-known and one of the most historical types of funds out there. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is a group of 30 different types of companies on our stock market. Then you have funds like QQQ. QQQ gives you exposure to the NASDAQ 100. If you've ever heard of the NASDAQ before, this is another very popular type of fund, and this gives you exposure to some of the largest non-financial companies on our stock market. That's why for the last couple of decades, QQQ has been very popular and heavy on the tech side of things because tech companies have grown so big, but this gives you exposure to the NASDAQ. And then you have things like SPYD, which gives you exposure to dividend-paying companies in the S&P 500. So for those of you who are like me and you like investing for cash flow, This is investing in companies that are paying dividends but are a part of the S&P 500, meaning it's one of the 500 largest companies in the stock market. But the goal here is to invest in companies that are paying those dividends, meaning cash flow, meaning now you're getting paid every quarter just for owning these companies as opposed to trying to see that price growth with the companies. And that's a little bit more advanced. I'm not going to be getting into what is a dividend, how to invest in dividend paying funds and companies in this video. I'm going to be focusing more on the fund side, that we understand that there are different ways for you to be investing your money. Now, what you want to understand here is that the way that you make money, the way that you actually see the most success as an investor in these types of funds is not by going out and putting $1,000 into one of these funds and just letting it sit there. The way that you actually build wealth with these types of funds is, number one, you want to make sure your investments are consistent. Number two, you want to make sure your investments are passive. And number three, you want to make sure your investments are automatic. I like to call this CPA, consistent, passive, and automatic. And what this means is, now every time you get paid, whether it's every week, every 2 weeks, or every month, you want to have a CPA, consistent, passive, and automatic system, where every time you're getting paid, some of your money is automatically going to be invested into your portfolio of funds. For me, I have a system where every Wednesday, cash leaves my checking account and is automatically invested into my portfolio of ETFs. Now, I invest in ETFs that give me exposure to value. I have ETFs that give me exposure to dividends. In fact, dividends are the largest fund piece in my portfolio of funds because I like cash flow. I have ETFs that give me exposure to emerging markets. These are companies and countries that are overseas that don't rely on the dollar. And I have ETFs that give me exposure to innovation. That's a smaller piece of my ETF pool because, well, that's more risky and that's kind of more on the fun side of things. This happens consistently, passively, and automatically. It doesn't matter if the market's going up or the market's going down. It doesn't matter if the market's booming. It doesn't matter if the market's crashing. This is going to keep happening, and this is happening for the long term. This is not something I'm doing for 6 months or 6 years. This CPA method of investing in these types of funds to build wealth is something you need to plan on doing for decades. That way you can build true freedom through the stock market. Now, you got to figure out, how much money do you want to invest in stocks? How much money do you want to invest in real estate? How much money do you want to invest in your own business? But if you're getting paid, like, I own Briefs Media. That is my company. I'm the CEO and I run that company, but I get paid a salary out of that company. Now, out of the salary, a big chunk of this is being CPA'd, consistently, passively, and automatically invested into my portfolio of funds. So whether you are just an employee or a business owner, this is the way now for you to take the income that you're making as a worker, because I'm a worker as well. You take this money you're making as a worker, and now you can invest a piece of this into these funds, that way you can build this long-term wealth. You have different types of funds for pretty much anything that you can think of. Like, you have funds for all the things that I just talked about. You have funds that are specific to real estate stocks. You have funds that are specific for healthcare stocks. You have funds that are specific for dividend paying companies. You have funds that are specific for technology. You have funds that are specific for specific countries. Once you know what it is that you want to invest in, well, now you can go out and start investing in these funds. But you also want to be cautious about spreading yourself too thin and creating a portfolio of 45 different types of funds. Start simple, start small, understand what the bigger funds are, understand what you want to invest in, and then start investing your money, and just don't dilute yourself too thin. Now let's talk about the different types of funds there are, because I think this is important for you to understand, because what ends up happening to a lot of people is they start investing their money into the funds, but don't understand now how much these funds are actually costing them. In case you're wondering, what does Briefs Media do? Well, we are a financial news and education company. We have some really cool products, one of which is Market Briefs. Market Briefs is our free financial newsletter, where every day my team is working to break down what's happening in things like the economy, the housing market, the stock market, crypto, and the global economy into a fun, witty, and easy to read email. You can read the email in less than 5 minutes every morning, and it's completely free. And not just that, I promise that you are going to love reading Market Briefs every morning. And if you're wondering, but Jaspreet, how can you promise that I'm going to love reading Market Briefs? Well, if you don't love reading Market Briefs, you can unsubscribe at any time because it's free. So if you want to join Market Briefs, I got the link to how you can join down in the description below, or you can go to briefs.co/market. That's briefs.co/market. Now, when it comes to the different topics of funds, you have three general categories of funds. You have mutual funds, ETFs, and index funds. And the three main things that you want to pay attention to when you're understanding the difference between these are, number one, the fees. Number two is how often you can trade out of these funds. And number three is, are they more actively or passively managed? And I'll explain what all this means. So starting with mutual funds, the thing that you want to understand about mutual funds is that mutual funds are generally more actively managed. And what that means is there is generally a person behind that actual mutual fund that's making the trades in and out of this mutual fund. So now, because there's a person sitting here and managing the trades, managing the companies inside of the funds, the goal is that this person will be able to outperform the market, outperform an algorithm or a computer, but you're gonna have to pay this person higher fees. So the fees are generally higher because now you have to pay for that person. And mutual funds generally have this trading limit where you can generally only trade in and out of a mutual fund one time a day. Now, whether or not you want to invest in a mutual fund is really going to be up to your discretion. But what we have seen is generally these types of mutual funds, when you factor in the fees, can generally not outperform the market for a long enough period of time. But sometimes there will be some mutual funds that even despite the fees will be able to get general higher returns. But that risk really now comes down to you. And I'm not going to kind of go into how do you analyze mutual funds and what's a good mutual fund or not in this video. But I want you to understand that mutual funds have generally higher fees. And for some or most mutual funds, these fees are not worth it. But in some instances, they will be. But I want you to start thinking about that. Is that fee worth it or not for you? Because my goal is not to tell you what to invest in. My goal is for you to be a financially educated investor that we can find good investments that fit within your portfolio. I'm going to skip over ETFs for just a second, and I'm going to move to index funds, because index funds are a little bit different than mutual funds in that index funds are generally passively managed, not actively managed, which means that there's generally an algorithm or a computer that's managing these funds. So just a second ago, we were talking about the S&P 500. The S&P 500 funds are generally passively managed, meaning there's no person that has to sit there and manage the 500 largest companies every single day. It's managed by an algorithm. And when a company falls out of the S&P 500, this algorithm will kick one company out of the fund and put another company in. So it's a lot easier to manage because it can be managed by a computer, which also means that the fees are also lower. So it's generally not something you have to think about writing a check for, but it's something you want to be thinking about, because if these fees are high, they're going to be eating a piece of your profits and you're not even going to be seeing it happening, which is actually what a lot of Wall Street wants. They don't want you to think about the fees, but I want you to think about the fees, because these fees can add up. A 1% fee over the course of your investing career can eat up more than a quarter of your total investment profits, which is why you got to understand that this 1% fee isn't just a 1% fee one time. It's a 1% fee on every single dollar that you invest and every single piece of profit that you're going to be generating for the course of your investing career, which is why I want you to understand the importance of these fees. And also when it comes to trading with these types of index funds, you can generally trade these index funds only one time a day. Now, ETFs are a nice little hybrid between mutual funds and index funds, and that you can trade these just like any other stock. You can trade in and out on ETF as many times as you want. They trade on the stock market just like any other stock. And these can be either high or low fees because they can be actively or passively managed. What you'll see is that you'll have ETFs that are mutual fund based ETFs and index fund based ETFs. So you'll see ETFs that are more actively managed and passively managed. Some will have higher fees than others, some will have lower fees than others, but you can trade in and out of an ETF just like a stock, which kind of gives you a lot of ease with an ETF. So you got to figure out what's right for you. None of these is necessarily better than the other, but you want to understand the different investing options out there. That way you can make an educated decision when it comes to you going out and actually investing your money.